Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
What you tearing up there, Tim?
My notes that you gave me for the show today, because they're full of lies. The notes are a bunch of lies, Ed. And I could do something more, but I'm being courteous.
That is a fist bump right out of the gate. That's brilliant.
All right. Welcome to the program, Today's Issues, everybody, here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio, is
co-hosting
with us today. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for listening. If you want to watch on the internet, well, you just missed me tearing up the notes, but you can go back and rewind that. Go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show at either of those two places. Facebook or YouTube, Today's Issues. If you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net. A lot to talk about on the program today. And joining me again, Ed and Fred. Steve will come along later. So, the State of the Union last night, right? The annual speech by the president.
Yeah, and the assessments this morning, probably from president's supporters, one of the best State of the Union addresses they've ever heard. And if you don't like the president, but you like Nancy Pelosi, well, she was a hero, I guess, for the far left last night. What, Tim, you were doing a few moments ago was tearing up some paper. If you didn't see the State of the Union address last night and haven't read any news this morning, when the president signed off last night, Nancy Pelosi, of course, she's Speaker of the House, she's sitting just about directly behind where the president was standing. She stands up as he's about to leave, and she takes four or five pages of the speech at a time and rips it up. And she proceeds to do that as he's
kind of shocking, honestly.
Shocking. Well, if she wanted to steal the scene, she probably did in doing that. But she told reporters later, she said she did it because she was trying to find one page of truth in the speech, but couldn't. So we thought we would take you through some of that speech last night that Nancy Pelosi says was a lie.
Oh, full of lies.
Full of lies.
Yeah.
All right. At one point last night, President Trump honored Air Force Colonel Charles McGee. 100 years old. He's sitting up there. He's 100 years old. He is the last survivor of what was known as the Tuskegee Airmen. He's a World War II airman. He fought 130-plus missions. President gave him a higher ranking last night. He's standing there. Sitting beside him is his great-grandson, who the president also talked about, who wants to follow in the footsteps of his great-granddad and eventually become an astronaut. Nancy Pelosi says that was all a lie.
Well, now, is that, she didn't say that, Fred, did she exactly?
Pelosi said she was trying to find one page of truth.
Okay.
But couldn't.
Okay, I get where you're going. That. Yeah, she was dishonoring that gentleman.
Yes.
And all those who were honored by the president last night.
And that's the way they took it. Some of these who were honored last night, that's what they said.
Yes.
Like the one whose brother was killed. Go ahead.
Let me play that for you. Jody Jones was on Fox and Friends this morning. At one point in the speech last night, the president condemned sanctuary cities.
And states,
mm-hmm. California being one of them. Mm-hmm. Jody Jones was one of the president's guests. He was there last night. His brother was killed by an illegal alien. All right. So Jody Jones saw what Nancy Pelosi did last night. He was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about Pelosi ripping up the story about how his brother died at the hands of an illegal alien. Cut number 8.
It felt like she ripped our hearts out. Everybody there, all the guests, we were just, we couldn't believe it. Look, I don't care how you feel about somebody. That was probably the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life. Because when she did that, it just tore us up. We couldn't believe it.
Your brother's name was on
yes.
that paper.
Absolutely.
She's ripping your brother's
yeah.
name.
That's what it felt like. Really did.
You know what? She's going to see this tape. What's your message to Nancy Pelosi right now?
First of all, let's do away with the SB 54. What you did was very disrespectful, and it really ripped our hearts out.
What's SB
54? SB 54, what he's talking about there is the law in California, that sanctuary state, that the local authorities, when they arrest someone who is in the country illegally, they are under no obligation anymore. In fact, they cannot turn them over to ICE, who may have a deportation order on that individual. And that is happening again and again and again.
Well, what President Trump did last night was, it wasn't overtly, he didn't really attack. He wasn't in attack mode. Not Trump style, anyway.
Yeah.
On the Democrats, he did make a couple of distinct differences to show America, as all presidents do when they do State of the Union. Obama did it, Clinton did it, Bush did it. They all tout their own, they toot their own horn, and they make themselves look in the best possible light, and they tell stories. I'm not talking about lies.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they all do this. All presidents do this. But last night, what he did was, the president did was, the stories he told about the illegal people, criminals, who were let go by sanctuary cities and or states and went out to murder innocent Americans, was a spotlight on the insanity of Democrat, liberal, progressive policies that put Americans at risk.
Yep.
And so they were in my mind, they were embarrassed that this was brought before the American public.
You are exactly right, Tim. We're going to play cut number 2 for you. The president, in condemning sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, told this story about New York is the same way as California. New York
right.
City can't
yeah.
hand these illegals over. They let them go. The president told a story, and it's a true story, folks.
Right.
Not making this stuff
right,
up.
Right.
Cut number 2.
Tragically, there are many cities in America where radical politicians have chosen to provide sanctuary for these criminal, illegal aliens. In sanctuary cities, local officials order police to release dangerous criminal aliens to prey upon the public instead of handing them over to ICE to be safely removed. Just 29 days ago, a criminal alien freed by the sanctuary city of New York was charged with the brutal rape and murder of a 92-year-old woman. The killer had been previously arrested for assault, but under New York sanctuary policies, he was set free. If the city had honored ICE's detainer request, his victim would still be alive today.
See, what do you say to that?
Well, and that's not even a direct attack. It's
he didn't say Democrats.
He didn't even name
Mayor Blasio, really.
Yeah, he was talking about these radicals in these states and cities who have these policies. Now, to the shame of the Democrats, they've done nothing to cooperate, reach across the aisle. Both political parties ought to come out in a bipartisan fashion, say, this is wrong. This is wrong. We're uniting right now to tell these cities and states they have to stop that.
But we don't want to get too far away from the speech and what happened last night. But if you do that, that's getting away from what they really believe, the agenda of the Democrat Party as a whole, and that is for no borders.
That's why it's to their shame. They're ashamed, like you said, they're ashamed to have this truth paraded before right. the American people at right. the State of the Union address. That's why they see this as an attack.
And you may have heard in the background the booing when he was talking. I believe that came from the Democrats. They weren't arguing what he was saying was the truth. They just don't like it. They see it as an attack on their policy.
Yeah, they don't want ICE. They don't want border control.
Yes.
They don't want borders.
Yes.
That's fascism. That's racism. That's bigotry. That's a lens in which these, quote, progressives see the world. And so they're not going to, when President Trump brought this story to the attention, and I read that about that illegal immigrant or illegal alien was wanted by ICE, and the New York City police didn't give him up. They let him out. And I'm not blaming the police department. I'm blaming the policies there.
Right.
And that's what President Trump was saying. They let him out. So what does he do? He goes out and rapes and murders an
92-year-old
woman. And but that could have been prevented had the police department cooperated with ICE, who
right.
had a detainer out on him. And what President Trump is saying is that kind of nuttiness, craziness has got to stop. Well, that's what the Democrats are for. They're against ICE. They're against
right.
border. So I think he sort of said to them in public, Democrats, your zipper's down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it embarrassed them, so
yeah.
to speak. And not that they're against their own policy in an embarrassing way. They're embarrassed that this was brought before the broad American public, mm-hmm. who most Democrats or people who vote Democrat or Republican out there, I would think, liberal or conservative, would go, that's insane.
Yes.
You know, what you're standing for. Anyway, she tore the speech up.
Yeah.
You mentioned that.
Yes.
I want to talk about this for just a minute because it was kind of shocking. Now, some people would say, well, the president didn't shake her hand either, and that was inappropriate, okay, if you saw the speech.
Right.
Well, a couple of things. One is the president didn't shake Mike Pence's hand either.
No.
He didn't shake Nancy Pelosi's or Mike Pence's hand. He may have just forgot for a minute or may not have wanted to, or it looked like to me he was turning back to the podium.
Yes.
I don't even know if he, I don't even think he saw Speaker Pelosi reach out her hand, if you look at the video
right.
of footage. And as I say, he never shook Vice President Pence's hand either. So I don't know whether that was intentional or not, but if it was, so what? You know what? He's under no obligation to shake the hand of the woman who's just tried to have him handcuffed and removed from office
yeah.
in the manner and fashion in which she and the Democrats did. So if he didn't shake her hand, he gave her the speech. That was the obligation he was under constitutionally. He's given the State of the Union. I don't know if that's constitutional or not, but it's a protocol. So he's given the State of the Union speech. But did you watch her mannerisms the whole time?
Yeah,
and everything.
My wife and I and our daughter were watching it last night. What's going on
Is she even for our country at all?
I don't. She kept talking off to the side.
She looked
mumbling.
Like she was talking to herself. It was
strange.
Strange. Her behavior. It was a little strange.
You know what it was? It was the behavior of an older person who is sort of losing her faculties in a way. I'm not talking about completely and utterly.
Yeah,
she's not, hadn't lost her mind in that way, dementia or something like that, but she's acting like.
Well, she was probably muttering to herself.
She was.
Her disagreement with things that Trump was saying.
And it was caught on the mic a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
Huh? But I don't think she once looked at President Trump. She rarely looked up in the audience, in the gallery.
I saw several times when the focus of everyone was up. In the gallery, he was honoring someone.
She's looking at her girls.
She was looking, a lot of times she would be looking down. She'd be standing up, and there was one time when she was applauding. I think it was when the the soldier came who had, it was on his fourth
oh,
deployment.
Oh, she did applaud.
She applauded
a few times.
Applauded, but she was looking down at her paper as if she was.
I don't think she's reading it. Personally, I don't even think she's reading the speech. I think it's just a, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
I don't want to look at him because that shows him respect.
Yes.
I don't want to look at the gallery because he's, that puts him in a good light.
Right.
And I'm not going to read the speech. She's not reading the speech. She didn't care what's in there.
She'd probably already.
It's a nervous, behavior. What can I do then? I got to do something here. I'll just stare at this paper. And
awkward.
Like I'm reading. Right. So, but to tear it up.
I know. Vice President Pence, as you mentioned, was sitting right beside Nancy Pelosi last night. He was interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning, and of course, he was asked, "What did you think about Pelosi ripping up that speech?" Cut number 7.
I didn't see her do it. I found out just a few moments later, and I think it was a new low. I wasn't sure if she was ripping up the speech or ripping up the Constitution. I mean, it's clear the contrast here was a president who spent an hour and a half making the speech about America.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi in the final moments tried to make it about her. And I think the American people see through it. I think they see through the pettiness. They see through the politics of all of it. She ripped up Rocky's story. She ripped up Janaea's story. Right. She ripped up the story about the Williams family and about General McGee. And I have to tell you, I don't actually get her take on this. She's saying that it was filled with lies. What lies were there?
You know,
what lies were there?
Jonathan Turley, who's a law professor, I think, at George Washington University, he's frequently on Fox, but he's a commentator.
He's not a Republican.
He's not a Republican. In fact, I think he's been a Democrat, you know, I think he was a Democrat for years and years and may still be, I don't know. But he called Nancy Pelosi, this is pretty funny, he called her a partisan troll. He called her a partisan troll and called on her to either apologize or step down.
Wow.
He said he felt that. He said, quote, her conduct tore up more than a speech, but decades of tradition, and left any semblance of civility in tatters on the House floor. Called on her to apologize or step down.
Look, what's ironic here is these are the people who say that that Donald Trump, they'll say when he acts unpresidential.
Right.
Oh, he's unpresident. He's unpresidential. That's what the Democrats will say, right? Well, you know what? These lefties, they behave like this all the time. Maxine Waters,
right,
encourages physical confrontation of cabinet members,
right,
of the Trump administration. Go get them, basically, is what she's saying.
Yep.
You know what? Tlaib, a Congresswoman Tlaib, the new one from the four or the what do they call them?
The squad.
The squad
from Michigan.
She uses a vile vulgarity. Can you have an unvile vulgarity? Anyway, she uses vile language that I won't even give the letters to.
Right.
To say blank. Impeach the blank. Talking about President Trump, and she does this out in public.
Right.
What I'm saying is, the left does this all the time. They encourage violence against President Trump. A lot of them.
Well, and you know, AOC.
She tears up the speech last night. That's unprecedented. That's unprofessional, I guess.
After we haven't mentioned this, but the president gave to Rush Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You wanted to cover that?
Yes. We have that moment.
Go ahead.
Cut number 6, Brent.
In recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire, and all of the incredible work that you have done for charity, I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I will now ask the First Lady of the United States to present you with the honor, please.
That was quite a moment, because we just learned earlier this week from Rush Limbaugh that he has a very serious case of pulmonary cancer,
right?
Advanced pulmonary cancer. And I don't think a lot of people knew that he was going to be sitting beside the First Lady last night. It was a shock to me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And we commented here before the show, he looked like a man who has stage four, I guess, advanced and aggressive lung cancer. The reason I mentioned AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the leader of the squad, these four freshman Democrat ladies who were elected in 2018, she didn't even attend the speech. She said, I'm not attending the State of the Union because that would legitimize this president and his lawless conduct. But she said that she said it was inappropriate to give.
She watched it, though?
Well, I guess, yes, I'm sure she did, because she commented. Well,
that's legitimizing it.
Well, she said by being there, I don't know what.
Okay,
what,
I'm taking away from your point. What's your point?
Well, she said that that the Presidential Medal of Freedom should not have been given to Rush Limbaugh because she called him a, quote, a violent racist. Now, I don't know what kind of violence he is supposed to have committed, okay, but she called him a violent racist. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about incivility, and so right. She doesn't even show up just to show her disdain for the president and for the office and for the State of the Union, and then she calls someone that she just politically disagrees with a violent racist.
You know what? The Democrat Party right now is in complete disarray.
Yep.
James Carville, who was one of the top strategists for President Clinton, he's very worried that his party is about to go full on socialist, right?
Would you like
and
to
he's
hear
speaking
from,
out?
Would you so like to hear from James Carville?
Yes. By the way, I saw him in an airport one time in Washington D.C. It was a pretty interesting. Yeah, you can't miss him. You got the bald head.
Yeah.
Got the bald head and got the Cajun accent.
Yeah.
But anyway, but a very smart political operative.
Yes.
In his day, and he have. But I found it interesting what he's concerned about. Go ahead.
Cut number nine.
Look at the British Labour Party. I mean, we're like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right, we're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people. Everyday people are out there struggling. We're trying to get votes in Northern Wisconsin.
You're saying you're concerned that you consider Bernie Sanders for open borders and for incarcerated people voting?
He said that we should give people a ticket. All right? I'm saying what he said. I'm saying, of course, I would vote for him, but I don't want the Democratic Party of the United States to be the Labor Party of the United Kingdom.
Wow.
There you have it. Wasn't he that coined it's about the economy, stupid, back in the Clinton?
Yeah. And I don't think he would vote for him.
No.
I don't think he would say I'm going to vote for Trump, but he doesn't say
I've taken him at his word, because I think that there is a very large subset of the Democratic Party that will never vote for Trump, and they think, well, I'll vote for Bernie, he's not going to get anywhere, but I disagree with his policies. But it sounds to me like he thinks the Democratic Party is moving irrevocably towards being a socialist party.
Yes.
And I don't know why you'd vote for a guy.
He says he's going to cause them to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is beautiful, if you're a Trump supporter and you're putting together the campaign, here you have James Carville, a lifelong Democrat, saying what Bernie Sanders and the other Democrats are saying. They don't believe in borders.
Right.
And they're saying it out loud. Furthermore, and Nancy Pelosi said President Trump lied about this last night, the Democrats' presidential candidates are in favor of free medical care for everybody who comes here.
Most of them said they were.
Well, only one or two didn't.
Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi said that was a lie last night.
Right.
It wasn't a lie.
It's not a lie.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Abraham Hamilton will join us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
These conveniences really are kind of working against us, and how they're monitoring us, tracking us. And it's why the big tech companies, well, they're called masters of the universe. And they will serve a master eventually. That would be the Antichrist.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here from American Family Association and American Family Radio, where I serve as president. Hey, one of the special places we go on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. is Arlington National Cemetery. Everyone on our tour gets so excited about that day when we visit the cemetery because of the patriotism that we all have and the love for our country and the appreciation for the men and women who've given their lives for our nation, for our freedoms, for our liberty, for our way of life. We're going to be visiting Arlington National Cemetery on the Friday of our spiritual heritage tours in Washington, D.C. in June and September, and we'll be seeing and experiencing the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you want the information on these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this good you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. I heard the news about Rush Limbaugh just a few minutes after I concluded Monday's talk show. Lung cancer felt like a sucker punch. Rush is one of my radio heroes, like Paul Harvey, a legend, one of the good guys in the radio business, a brilliant entertainer. I'll never forget the first time I heard the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Finally, there was a guy on the radio who said what I was thinking. Rush spent his career standing up for conservatives and standing up for talk radio. And now it's time for us in the industry to stand alongside Rush. The Bible tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. And I pray the good Lord will shower Rush with blessings every single day. We all know that Rush Limbaugh is a fighter, and cancer picked a fight with the wrong talk show host. Today, we are all ditto heads, even you folks in Rio Linda. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson. Abraham Hamilton III joins us on Wednesdays this time, if he's available. How you doing, Abe?
Good morning.
Abe serves as our general counsel here at AFA and is heard each afternoon on the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock. We've been talking, Abe, obviously, about the State of the Union speech last night and the what happened afterwards with Speaker Pelosi tearing up the speech for all the world to see. You know what also changed last night, and I don't know how this affects State of the Union addresses in the future. But President Trump, you know, went full Oprah on us. He started handing out prizes on the spot.
Yes.
Right? Everybody, remember when Oprah Winfrey did that? Everybody gets a new car.
Yeah, you get a new car.
Yeah, you get a new car. Everybody who's here today. Yeah. Well, the president decided, I'll give the Presidential Freedom.
Medal of Freedom.
To Rush Limbaugh right here and now.
Yeah,
I'll give this young lady a scholarship.
Yep.
Yeah,
here and now, and finally, come on down. Here is the soldier from the Middle East.
He can't wait. Come on,
come on. We've been waiting long enough.
Do you want to hear that?
Oh, yeah. Is this a soldier?
Heartwarming. This is Sergeant.
What was his name?
Townsend Williams.
Yeah.
This was the moment. Cut number 10.
But Amy. There is one more thing. Tonight, we have a very special surprise. I am thrilled to inform you that your husband is back from deployment. He is here with us tonight, and we couldn't keep him waiting any longer.
By the way, if I can say this about myself, and I don't often brag, because we're supposed to be humble.
Yes, we are supposed to be.
But then there are times You know what I'm saying?
When who are we fooling, right?
Right. So I told Allison last night, we're watching this live, and I go, I got a feeling. I don't know if it's because of the other things he had done already, but I said, I got a feeling her.
Something's going to happen.
Her husband's going to come out from behind curtain three here, and, and that's what happened. It was a what do you do? Nancy Pelosi, I don't know what she did in that moment. Maybe she did applaud on that.
She did. She stood up, and she was applauding when I saw her, but she was looking down as if she was looking for something. Oh, where did I put that? You know, she didn't want to give legitimacy to the moment.
Ray, what did you think about what happened last night?
Well, first, when Nancy Pelosi tore up President Trump's speech that he gave her a copy of, which constitutionally he's required to do.
Okay, yes, that is a constitutional
Article 3 requires the president to update the Congress on the status of the union. For years, the majority of our history would be done in writing. It wouldn't be a formal address. It would just be a written report.
But the age of television probably changed all that, right?
Yes, the age of television changed it all. But I thought, for a person who makes a living eviscerating the Constitution, tearing up a speech, not that big a deal. shreds the Constitution on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about the protocol of, I was stunned that she did this because, she can say whatever she wants to. I don't know. I heard her instantaneous answer to that. Well, it was better than the alternative or something like that. It was
whatever
courteous.
That is. Well, I don't know what that. Is she going to spit in his face?
The alternative? What's the alternative?
You know why she tore it up? Because she realized President Trump just got reelected. Because if you look at the totality of things that have occurred, remember where President Trump was at the beginning after he was inaugurated? His approval rating was in the 30s.
Yeah.
But following Mueller, following, you know, Russian collusion, following the impeachment, all of that has bolstered the president's approval ratings.
He's higher than President Obama.
He's higher than President Obama at this point in his presidency, and because of what they attempted to do to him. Yes.
And he's got 90% of the news media against him, Hollywood universally against him, except for poor John Voight, who's hanging in there. But he's already got his Academy Award.
So. And Vince Vaughn, who shook his hand.
Vince Vaughn shook his hand. But the economy took off after the tax reform package, the deregulation that's going on. He has proven that conservative principles work fiscally, and the businesses are booming. So I think you're right, Abe. I think it was Nancy Pelosi. Yes, she was saying Donald Trump just got reelected, but I think she's also, and who among us hasn't been there when you've been so frustrated and angry about a situation, you know, you throw the ball out in the yard. Are you... You know what I'm saying? Or you say a bad word. or something. You're so...
But could it really be a visceral reaction to the speech itself? I mean, what in the speech is she objecting to? It can't be this. Maybe it is, but I can't see her being that mad at what was said.
It's either a visceral reaction or she planned it.
Well,
I think it's a visceral reaction to... Probably part of what you just said, that is, she knows Trump just hit a home run and now he's circling the bases. She's the catcher and she's going,
You saw on The View, Joy Behar, you see it this week? I hope he flips out and at the State of the Union address, was saying, I hope he flips out and does something crazy.
Yeah,
because of impeachment. And I think maybe that's what they were hoping.
And he didn't do it.
And not only did he not flip out and do something crazy, but he hit a home run. All these great moments, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen and this young man wanting to go, you know, into space, the heart tugging stories of those who have lost people to terrorism.
But she didn't like, and none of them liked, the hard truth that the economy is roaring. Mm-hmm. And if you remember Bill Maher a couple of years back, Bill Maher, the talk show host.
The beloved talk show host.
Yeah. With the
atheist.
Yeah. He said, we got to hope. He was talking to somebody. He said, I just hope the economy collapses.
Yeah.
Because that's the only, we're going to need that to beat Trump. So we need, if people have to suffer, they have to suffer, but we have to beat, he has to be defeated. This was like 2 years, a year and a half ago? Or two
no,
years
I think
ago?
It was pretty soon after his inauguration.
Right. But Nancy Pelosi has, first of all, listen, these people are suffering one loss after another to this guy. This guy, I mean President Trump. They lost 16. And Hillary Clinton was predicted of 90% by the New York Times on Election Day to win.
Great prognosticators there.
They tried 2 years to get him with Mueller. They give Mueller unlimited money. They give him 10 Clinton lawyers or 12 or whatever, 15.
17 or something.
17 crazy. Say, you got subpoena power. You, go get him, Tiger. Bring him down.
Right.
Okay, we're with you. Talking about the Democrats. After all that, he found nothing, no Russian collusion. Then you got, that's 0 for 2 right there. Then you got the impeachment. They're 0 for, today it'll be 0 for 3. He right. won't be impeached, by the way, if he's acquitted.
He's impeached.
Right?
He won't be removed.
He won't be removed, but he'll remain
in charge. My point is he impeached?
Technically.
So all you need is a House saying impeachment, whether the Senate,
But the impeachment is a procedural mechanism, though. And I think our country are not very familiar with the constitutional parameters. It's a procedural mechanism to get to the Senate trial. Mm. So it's technically correct to say he's impeached. But what's not correct is the gravity of what impeachment means. All it means, and I don't mean to minimize it, all that it means is that the House has determined that they believe that their allegations are sufficient.
All Democrats.
And that is why, historically, impeachment has not been pursued on a partisan basis.
Yes.
Because it's such a high political ultimate remedy. It should be above the political fray of partisanship. Yeah. But they have reduced that.
And so she's 0 for 3.
A big 0 for 3. That's like 0 for 3 in the bottom of the ninth in the World Series.
Now, I will
and
say.
They're about to be 0 for 4.
I think, I'm not saying there was no emotion in what she did. I think she planned this. Mm. I think she planned this all along. You've got people like AOC who didn't even show up. I think it was Rashida Tlaib, I think, who – is she the one who got up and left mid-speech?
Yes.
and so I think Nancy Pelosi and her handlers were saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do at the end of it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I think she planned to tear it up, and she—it was clear she did it. She knew the camera.
Okay,
would
we're
going to
take
her.
A vote right here. Then I'm curious, and there's no right or wrong answer here. This is all relativism, right? And that's what we're for. that's what we believe in here, relativism. Raise your hand in this studio, Brent, our producer. You feel free to vote too, and please don't feel pressured by the fact that I signed your check. Okay, you feel free to vote your conscience here. Okay. And it's not going to be a tie. I believe, raise your hand if you believe that she acted viscerally or instinctively on this. So me and Brent and I. Brent,
I think she was angry.
You
angry? Okay.
Oh, no, I said there was passion involved.
Okay.
But I think she planned.
Hold on a second. If you believe she planned this.
Yes.
I'm not judging you.
I think she.
You think she planned it?
I think she planned it.
I think given the little hand clap last time a year ago.
Yeah.
The duck
was,
clap?
That was planned. Yeah.
The duck clap.
I think she planned this. I think she she was planning to get up. She knew the camera would still be on the president as he said, God bless America, how he ended that speech. She was up and started to tear at that moment before he left the podium.
No. You think in her office that afternoon, sitting around with her staff, she goes, you know, what point are you going to tear up the speech?
I think Madam. She says, I have to show my party and our supporters that we absolutely reject this man. He is illegitimate.
Yeah. Well, then you don't show up to begin with.
Well, she, yeah.
You don't, mean, no,
I mean,
you
she
don't show
said
up.
He's unwelcome in the House.
Yes.
She could have.
If you
well,
had
of course she could have, but you're saying she should have nuked it. I'm saying this is not a nuke that she dropped. This was her still being able to wear the white hat of the sheriff and she acted responsible. She extended her hand, I think, on purpose, figuring that he would. But she still, she couldn't nuke it. She couldn't say, "I'm not showing up," or "I'm not saying you're welcome," but I am going to show my displeasure.
I think if they're people of conviction here, sounds like to me they really believe that President Trump is Hitler. And that's what they're doing.
See, I don't think they really believe it. They want to convince the American people that they believe it.
Yes.
I think they want they want their base to have that reaction to him, and they want him to believe that, because one of the things, and you guys probably talked about this, one of the things that spells doom, not even getting to the intricacies of the debacle that was the Iowa caucuses, but the turnout.
Yes.
You think about all of the years. This is our first opportunity to oppose the president, and the turnout.
Was it down? I don't even know.
It was down. It was nowhere near Obama levels. It was really somewhat lower than 2016.
Yes.
That caused James Carville and others to freak out.
Right. We played him before you came on the air.
I mean, and going berserk to where they're clamoring for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
The party of the people who are saying that we oppose billionaires. And this dude did nothing but buy his way into the election. And they're like, Bloomberg will save us.
Yes. I've read that.
This is, they're not going to show it, but they are panicked.
Well, they've got nothing to run on. Bloomberg.
They really got nothing.
How can Bloomberg run against him on
the
economy?
He's just running against Trump. That's all. Against Trump and for gun control. That's what I get from
Bloomberg. I think Bloomberg is trying to replace the Clinton machine with a Bloomberg machine. I think he's making a power play, whether he wins the nomination or not, for he to be the new standard bearer of establishment Democrat politics.
How old is he?
Yeah,
he's too old to be starting up a machine of his own.
Well, you think about the money he's spending.
He's blowing money, in my opinion.
But he's got to outspend the Sanders factor, which has blossomed even more than 2016.
He has, to date, spent nearly $250 million out of his own pocket for advertising, which is more than Hillary Clinton spent in the general and the primary
election. He's 77 years old.
77?
Yeah.
2016.
I got to tell you, this group of Democrats leading the party out there, they need to get together and play some shuffleboard.
Okay? Well, Buttigieg isn't that old.
On a nice seniors cruise. And they can even take Bloomberg's yacht if they want to. And I'm not making fun of quote old people, whatever that is exactly, except to say we all see that when you're old and you act like it in public on television cameras, everybody notices that, and people don't find that necessarily appealing for a presidential candidate. Now, should President Trump start acting like that, people will say the same thing about him. So far, Trump's, what is he, 73?
73. I didn't realize Elizabeth Warren is 70. I thought she was younger.
President Trump Klobuchar's. Is 73. He acts like he's 53. Okay, yeah. I mean, we all know that he's his DNA.
That's the Big Mac diet.
Whatever.
Amy Klobuchar is only 59. So.
Okay, but I'm talking about the leaders.
Right.
Okay. I'm talking about, well, Bloomberg is not really a leader, but he is with the money. Bloomberg's 77. Nancy Pelosi's 79. She's 79. Okay. Don't tell me she doesn't need to be playing hearts. Don't tell me that.
You are going to get yourself in trouble, my friend.
With who?
With people listen to us and play hearts.
I'm not judging hearts as a game. I'm just saying that she needs to step off the stage and go home and be a grandmother or great-grandmother or whatever. Her time has passed, and you can tell it by watching her.
I'm just telling you right now, if I was a four-year-old,
yeah,
and this is ugly.
If you were a 4-year-old,
if I was a 4-year-old and I saw that face coming towards me, give Granny a kiss, I'd be having nightmares.
And
for
you're
a
talking
long
to
time.
Me about getting in trouble with people listening to this show. But I'm just saying. And then you got Biden, who can't remember what state he's in. He's 70. What? He's 77 or something like that.
No malarkey.
You got Bernie, one trick pony Sanders. There.
Get off my lawn.
There you go.
Hey, you kids.
So,
bunch of capitalists.
Bernie, who's
get that lemonade stand off my yard.
Bernie Sanders, well, I'm going to confiscate that lemonade stand because it doesn't belong to you.
What we need to do is nationalize Lemonade Day. That's what we need to do. The billionaires and the oligarchs, they're ruining the country.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't see it on TV, Abe also has the hand motions.
Yes, that's right. You just got to get that.
But Bernie Sanders scares the devil.
Lemonade.
Scares the lemonade out of mainstream Democrats like James Carville. And
yeah,
and even they're going, oh my goodness, we can't have him.
Can we play? So he's 70-something. Can we play James Carville's comments again for Abe? Have you heard these?
Oh, I've heard some. I don't know which ones you have.
Well, they're only about 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, let's play it again. What James Carville said.
Look at the British Labour Party. I mean, we're like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right, we're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people. Everyday people are out there struggling. We're trying to get votes in Northern Wisconsin.
You're saying you're concerned that you consider Bernie Sanders for open borders and for incarcerated people voting?
Is
that what you're...
He said he's not. He said that we should give people a ticket. All right? I'm saying what he said. I'm saying, of course, I would vote for him. But I don't want the Democratic Party of the United States to be the Labor Party of the United Kingdom.
He's right.
And yeah,
he's saying what a whole bunch of Democrats are saying.
In that same thing, he said, come on, man, we need to get people talking about things that are relevant.
Right. Yeah. Right. He says we're talking about letting felons, people
vote from jail.
That's what the Democrats are in favor of, having people vote from jail.
And he's right.
And no borders.
Yeah. Oh, that was... No borders.
Man, it
That should be... He's Cajun, isn't he?
He's
that
from Northern.
Yeah, but that's going to be another great... the Democrats are, with Nancy Pelosi shredding, tearing up their speech, mm-hmm. with James Carville saying out loud what's freaking out the mainstream the middle-of-the-road Democrats. You talk about making ads for Trump... For the TV, for the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? These ads are going to be self-made. They're not even going to have actors.
Man, listen.
Be scary enough.
People that I know who are not Republican supporters, they're listening to President Trump talk about opportunity zones.
Yes.
Funding HBCUs. Yeah. You know,
what was that
the
last
economy.
Part? Funding what?
HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities.
Yeah.
And the economy roaring at the clip that it's roaring, his protections for religious liberty, his opposition to abortion. There are a lot of people that I know who didn't vote in 2016 or didn't vote for President Trump that will be voting for him in 2020.
Really?
Yes.
I believe that too now. I do.
And they're not responding to posters. They're not telling anybody. They're not trying to upset Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're saying, man.
Yeah.
These people talking about voting from jail and open borders and all of these things, and they're being pitted against. If President Trump continues what he did last night for the remaining 200 some odd days until the election, mm-hmm. watch out.
You know what? The open borders. Well, open borders is almost a contradictory phrase. I mean.
Huh? Right, you can't have a border.
You can't have a border that's open.
It's
you don't
no
have a
borders.
Border. No, the no borders Democrats.
Right. That's a good point, Tim.
Which constitutes all of them, with the possible exception of Joe Biden. I don't know. Joe Biden would not say no borders. He would. Right. He would.
Maybe Amy Klobuchar too. Maybe.
Maybe her. Now, the policy positions that Biden and Klobuchar would have would. All but neglect a border, but they would.
In
they,
effect,
but they wouldn't say no border.
Yeah,
and but what James Carville's saying is Bernie Sanders, the one of the leading candidates, says out loud,
no borders.
Think about this. Think about this. The practical. I mean, we laugh about it because it's so ridiculous. But and this is going to be another reason why the Democrats lose, I think, in the fall. Whether they lose the House of Representatives or not, I don't know. But I think right now they would obviously lose to President Trump, whose numbers are up, by the way, higher than Obama's at this same time. Think about the practical implications when President Trump starts making the case to the American people. The last time he was making the case of we need border security, we need to control illegal immigration, We can't let people just flood into our country who we didn't even know who they are. Now he's going to be able to say that these Democrats, especially if it's Bernie Sanders or a few of the others, and for all practical purposes, all of them fall into this category, they're for no borders. Think about this for a minute, folks. This is be saying what President Trump might say. Think about this for a second. You take away our border security at the, what is it called, border? The guys who are down there and the ladies.
Border Patrol.
You take away Border Patrol, just because this is what the Democrats want to do. They want to take the Border Patrol people and get them out of there because they're fascist.
Eliminate ICE.
Eliminate ICE, which is the Immigration.
Customs Enforcement.
Eliminate the agency. Huh? How insane is that?
Yeah.
But this is what the modern day Democrat Party is in favor of. So you're talking about flooding. There's at least some kind of deterrent on the border right now. Now, whether, you know, how effective it is, right. I guess.
It's very effective.
It ebbs and flows.
Numbers are way down.
Okay. And the president has worked out a deal with Mexico and some of the other countries to try to get them to help, and it's evidently working. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the idea that you don't, that borders don't matter to you, and you would just as soon our country be flooded, empty out Central America, and put all those people here, and you don't care about knowing who they are, what they bring with them, no borders at all. As they say, how do you have a country? And by the way, I would say this as somebody who travels internationally through Europe, and I go to Israel every year, and Abe, you just got back from India. If the Democrats are going to get in control and they're going to say no borders, no ICE, no borders,
there is no customs at the airports.
There is no point in checking my passport
right
at JFK when I come back into the States, because it doesn't matter. Because you don't have to have, you wouldn't have to have a passport if you come into.
Yeah, because there's no border on that side of the country either.
Okay, so why are you checking my passport? I mean, you see what I'm saying? For all, it just doesn't make any sense. So I think this, James Carville is pointing out, this is a big loser.
But here's the thing that's baffling to me. Why has it taken them this long to realize this? So you're surprised that the American people probably not too keen on that whole no borders thing?
I think because they thought Joe Biden was a shoo-in for the nomination, don't you think?
I think the reason is they listened to New York and they listened to California.
Just like the 2016 election.
That's all they listened to.
They trapped themselves.
Mm. Yeah.
They trapped themselves. I'm talking about the Democrats. So think about it for a minute. If you're going to make the argument, if you're Democrats and you're on stage together, whatever, and you're going to make the argument that Trump's a fascist, racist, bigot, okay, akin to Hitler, because he puts kids in cages, children in cages on the border, which isn't true.
Right.
By the way, you have to have cages to control people. By cages, it's fencing, okay, right, that Obama instituted.
Right.
Okay. But if you say that, there's no alternative to that that's good. If you're a Democrat on stage with somebody who just says, we've got to stop the fascism at the border, well, Biden can't come on there and say, you know, I'm for half fascism.
Right.
If we could have fascism light, I would go for that, and I think most people would. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they trap themselves and sit there, and they don't have anybody to stand up. Biden should be able to stand up and say, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That is absolutely whacked out, and I'm for border security and border control. I'm for humane treatment of people, but I'm not for open borders. Next question.
Right.
Well, he gets booed off stage, and he's a fascist.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they trap themselves with these policy positions. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.